All right, well, it's good to be here with so many young ones. We were here about a month ago, actually, with a team reunion. And we had a great time then, and I'm expecting we'll have another great time now. Amen. In fact, I've got a few reports that the college training is going very well. Is that right?
Amen.
Good. I'm glad I could join you. I'd just like to see how many were in the reunion, so I know who. I've met some of you before, a lot of familiar faces. How about you stand up if you made the reunion about a month ago here? Okay, so a lot of ones that are not there. Great, you can sit down. Thank you. And then I'd like to see who you are. I'd just like to know who's here. And I'd like to know if this is your first college training. Could you stand up? Your first college training. Whoa! That's maybe 40, 50%. Okay, now, keep standing. If you are a recent high school graduate, you keep standing. Oh my goodness. All of you just finished high school? Brothers, look at this. This is very tasty. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, let's see how many are, let's see your classification. So those are high school seniors, freshmen. You're actually freshmen now. So how about those that just finished their freshman year? That means you're a sophomore. How about you stand up? If you're a sophomore in college. Okay, good number of sophomores. Good. Great, okay. And now how about the, go ahead and sit down. And how about those going into their junior year? How many juniors do we have? Good number of juniors, pretty well balanced there. Okay, and how about seniors that, going in your senior year? You got one more year plus. Okay, pretty even. Okay, good. And then how about if you just graduated? You are a has-been. Okay, great, good. Okay, so this is mostly for those rising ones and the lower grades. That's great. Good. Okay, how about this? If you have only been among us a year or less, if this group, you've joined this group a year or less. Okay. 2, 4. That's good. I recognize you. Okay, good. Okay, how about 2 years to 1 year. Those that just were 1 year, okay, let's see, the two, you've been here 2 years, but less than one, let's see. Yeah, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, that's good, okay. All right, now let me see, how many of you were raised in the church life as we talk about it? You were here. Oh, wow, good number. Okay, so that means like from the sixth or seventh grade on, you've been around. Is that right? Okay, good number. Great. Okay, how about from Georgia? Let's see how many are here from the state. Okay, good. And that would be Atlanta and Athens mainly. How about Atlanta, sit down. Let me see how many Athens Saints. Athens, good, strong, good showing, great, okay, good. And then another state nearby, who's nearby? Your neighboring state would be South Carolina? Florida? You must be from Florida. No. Floridians, anybody from Florida? I saw Bruce back there. Oh, great, good. Ryan's back there, good number. Florida, great, hey, the whole contingent back here, man. Florida's growing. It's about the third state in population, I think. Okay, and then who else you got here besides those two? South Carolina, North Carolina, the Carolinas? Are you, Carolinas here? Okay, good. And I saw one Tennessean. Anybody? I saw Stephen from Tennessee. And a couple from Texas. Texas, you can stand up. Oh, Don's here. Okay, good. Okay, good. And who else? New Jersey. East Coast. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Pennsylvania. Anybody else? Who else? Mass. Virginia.
Is that Virginia? What happened to Massachusetts?
Virginia. Alabama. Alabama. You? No. Okay. Who else? Grenada. Wow. Good for you. Furthest travel. Okay, good. Mass. Ken is now a transplant from Texas to West Coast, now to East Coast. Mass? My goodness, Ken, what'd you do? Even they're aggressive. They're coming after us. Okay, I think that covers everybody. So it's a good blending, right?
Yes, great.
Great. And now, you know, next year we'll all be together, right? The national conference. And where's that going to be? Champaign, right in the middle of the whole U.S. Look forward to that one. Set that time aside. Okay, everybody should have a binder, right? So you all have the material. I think we're on page 85, if I've got the right page. 83. Okay, you're on 83. And let's look at the title of the whole weekend, or week actually, is what? What are we talking about?
Humanity of
Jesus. We're talking about a person. This is about a person, Jesus. And a certain aspect of that person we're dwelling on is this person's humanity. So we want to focus on our dear Lord Jesus, particularly his humanity for this whole week. And we're kind of marching through some different aspects and stages, and we're on the humanity of Jesus in the four Gospels. Right?
Okay.
Make sure I got the right outline. Okay, so I'm just coming in. So what can you tell me that you picked up so far from the typology in the Old Testament? This message is focused on the meal offering. So I've heard that you've been studying the meal offering, so I don't want to just repeat a lot of things that you've already learned. So I'm going to ask you, tell me some of the things that you've learned about the meal offering related to the Lord's humanity. We can just do this spontaneous. If something has stood out to you, actually Vern was telling me that there's a couple lines going through this training. I'm not talking specifically about the meal offering, but I'd also like to see what lines you think or you're picking up, so I can kind of get tuned in to where you are. So how about we go back and just talk about the meal offering, and what have you picked up concerning the meal offering and the Lord's humanity? You can just spontaneously stand up. We'll just take a few minutes to help me know what you're getting. So anybody want to start? We don't have a microphone to pass around, do we? Or do?
Yeah.
Just a second. Is it Dietrich?
Yeah.
Okay. Here, I'll just start. Oh, you got it? Okay. Go ahead. It's probably better.
Yeah, we've just been... the first evening, we talked about the meal offering and its components. So we talked about the fine flour, the oil, frankincense, and the salt, and what they signify, and two things that are not supposed to be there, which is leaven and honey. Should I go into what they signify?
Yeah.
Okay, see if I can remember.
So this is a meal offering.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so there's, so the fine flour...
And this is what they signify.
The meal offering?
Humanity. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to try to set up here so I can follow you.
It signifies the humanity of Jesus.
Okay, so the meal offering, what does that signify?
The humanity of Jesus.
Okay, so this is talking about Christ in his humanity, right?
Yeah.
All right, so that's the overall type there. Okay, now you're going to tell me about these specifically?
Yeah.
Okay. So how about you call on somebody
okay.
for fine flour?
How about Joey?
No.
Fine flour shows that it's been through a process.
Okay.
And it's balanced and it's tender and it shows Christ's human living.
Okay. So what's, if you could summarize one word here, anybody, what would you put for, what is the fine flour typifying?
Humanity.
Good. Okay, remember, this message calls it components of Christ. Components of Christ. So come here, Christ. Four components. The first component is fine flour. So we're talking about this person's humanity. That's the fine flour. We'll get into that fine flour. Okay, pick up Dietrich. Why don't you finish, Dietrich? Joe, yeah. Why don't you come up here, Dietrich? Okay, so this is Christ.
Okay.
Trying to get the type here. So fine flour.
Christ.
So humanity, what else you got? What's the oil?
The oil.
Everybody together. One, two, three.
Spirit.
Y'all are way ahead of the game here. Spirit. Okay. What's wrong? Okay, I'll spell it out. I know how to spell. I can spell that one. Okay, so the oil is spirit. Okay, frankincense.
The sweet smelling fragrance of Christ's resurrection.
Okay, so it's a fragrance. Frankincense, actually, do you know where that comes from? You know what? Have you ever smelled it, or do you know the source of frankincense? A tree? What about the tree? Tree's been wounded. They've slashed the bark of certain kind of trees, Middle Eastern or Mediterranean trees. And then what happens? Stephen? Is this Stephen? Ben. Come on, Ben. Tell us about the frankincense.
So it comes from a tree, and then what they do to get it is they cut the tree and the bark. And then the sap comes out. And then when it hardens, they gather it, and it's frankincense. And they burn it.
And when it hardens, you know what they call those hardened, when it's in the hardened state, you know what they call those?
Ambers.
Tears. They're called tears. And then they do what with it?
They burn it.
Burn it. Or in this case, it was put, so it's very aromatic. Very fragrant. Has anybody here, I tried to get some to bring some so I could pass around. Vern, you smelled it before? Can you describe it? No? Okay. So it's very fragrant. It's a fragrance of what? It's not just fragrance, but it's a fragrance of what?
Resurrection.
Okay. I'm just going to put res. Fragrance of resurrection. Fragrance of resurrection. Okay. And then what is the last one? Salt. And you want to say more about salt?
Salt is the killing element of the cross.
Okay, so salt is his death. So here are four components. This message has four components of Christ. So now we're going to talk about the fine flour, which is about this person's what?
Humanity.
Then we talk about the oil, the spirit, that's that component. Then we talk about frankincense.
Right.
Do you like fragrances? What's your favorite fragrance? Sister, what's your favorite fragrance? Don't have one? What's your favorite fragrance? A flower. What's your favorite flower fragrance? You don't like fragrance? Rose, gardenia, jasmine, star jasmine. My wife has this whole fence covered with the star jasmine. It's a vine like that. And when it blooms in the spring, I just go out there, and it's all just almost wine. I just inhale, and I just love that fragrance. Well, this is even more fragrant. This fragrant of a person. This person is aromatic. fragrance, and it's this resurrection. It's so, smells so sweet, okay? And then the fourth component is
salt,
death. So we're focusing on his humanity, his divinity, his resurrection, and his death. These are the main components that are typified through the meal offering. Okay, I think y'all got it. Or I'm getting it. Y'all help me. Thank you. Okay, here's someone's book. Is this yours, Dietrich, or yours? Okay. Okay, so humanity of Jesus in the four Gospels. These verses, save God, are from the Gospels, obviously, except for Philippians. So let's go ahead and read Roman numeral 1. Okay, so these are the four components, and this real simple A, B, C, D, each addresses one of the components. So we'll get into this a little bit. So the first one, let's read A together. Actually, when we talk about the four Gospels, typically, and I hope you'll read the notes on this when I think about Christ in the four Gospels, typically I think about the aspect that each Gospel writer is emphasizing. Matthew, Mark, Luke, King. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So what are those four aspects? We're not going to digress into this, but just so you know this. And actually, this is good to share. If you have a little bit of knowledge about this, it's very good to share with you new ones. Because a lot of people don't understand that there's an emphasis in each of the Gospels. What's Matthew emphasizing?
King.
Okay, what's Luke, what's Mark emphasizing?
Slave.
Okay, so you have the whole gamut of humanity, from the king, the highest, no one's higher than Jesus, no one's lower than Jesus. Then what is Luke?
Man,
humanity. And then what is John? God. Good. You got it. So usually when I think of the four Gospels, that's the lead-in to this kind of ministry or fellowship. So I hope you have that. Sound like you have that little gem in your pocket, and you can show some verses that help people realize each Gospel has an aspect. But tonight, we're not emphasizing the four aspects of him this way. We're emphasizing his humanity, his divinity, his death, and his resurrection. Okay, so on the fine flour, the Lord Jesus in his humanity, and fine flower signifies the beauty and excellency of his human living. I brought some fine flour, raided the kitchen here before I left, and it's fine. Uh-oh, my oil's leaking. Must have happened on the plane there. Yeah, well, I got this rag here. Haley will wash it for me, right? So fine flour, it's very fine. It's like powder. All you sisters know, it's like powder. Brothers, do you know anything about flour? It's just like a powder. It's very fine. It's very fine. It's finer than sand. It's just been crushed. It's taken live, living things and crushed them into just a powder. Brothers, when you think of flour, you're probably thinking of McDonald's or In-N-Out Burger and the bread. But it comes from, this is the basic ingredient of the meal offering, is fine flour. Fine flour. And fine flour needs oil. So I want you to taste the fine flour.
Okay.
You got some gum in there. Get that gum out of there. A big wad of blue gum. You swallowed them? I'm sorry, bro, Joe. It's fine, isn't it? Just like that. It's just a powder. And this is the basic ingredient in the meal offering. The basic, the basis. The main ingredient is the fine flour. So we want to focus on this aspect. It's just humanity. Without becoming a man, a real man, then we could not have the human virtues. We could not have an expression in humanity. So you got to pick up that this is the main ingredient. The salt is not the main one. The frankincense is not the main one. The oil is not the main one. But the fine flour is the base of the meal offering. This is the base. So it's very fine. And the description here is that it is, well, first of all, fine. Here, yeah, let's take A. How about you read, how about sisters who are finer, read A. Okay, so here's an example. There's many examples, and the brothers who put these outlines together picked this one. A, emphasizing that he did it in an orderly arrangement. So there are 5,000, and he wanted to arrange them orderly. So this represents his fineness in dispensing the food supply. It wasn't just haphazard, or it wasn't just a one long line of 5,000 people. He grouped them according to group, so he could manage it well, he could oversee it well, the disciples could dispense it well. It was all very well managed and arranged. So this shows his consideration. And in our knowing the Lord and our caring for people, considering people, considering how to best serve them is a part of this humanity. Christ is very considerate in his humanity to have a nice arrangement and a good order for the maximum enjoyment and dispensing of the food supply. So as young people, you may not have that much experience, but as you develop in the Lord, you'll pick up more of a sense in considering other people and where they're at, and how best to approach them, arrange situations so the dispensing can be maximized. Now, don't you think with this kind of arrangement, those people were I think in Luke it records that they were reclining on grass. There was much grass in that place. So even where he prepared it, the environment, they had a very enjoyable, they were hungry, and the disciples wanted to send them away. That's the way we are a lot of times in our humanity. Send them away. I'm tired, Ken. You know, Ken's been flying. He just flew back from Australia. It's 3 a.m. in his body. And the guys, if those eyes stay open the whole time, I'm sure I'm going to be amazed. Okay, so it's not convenient for Ken to be here. Okay, but he's considering not his own situation, but the dispensing for all you young people. This was the Lord. He considered how to reach people most effectively, and he would have a pleasant environment. Don't you think they were happy? Rather than send them away, he took care of them. So this is one example. Another example in the same sign, after feeding, how about brothers on B?
After feeding the 5,000, Jesus told the disciples to gather the pieces left over, that nothing be lost. There is nothing sloppy in his behavior.
Okay, so brothers, we have to admit, we're slobs or slobby or a little bit more than the sisters. Sisters are a little finer in their consideration. But the Lord was not this way. He could have easily just left those leftovers on the lawn. Come on, feed the birds. I mean, what's wrong with that? And, you know, we didn't have Greenpeace back then in the environment, and it wasn't an issue like it is today about how things look. He could have easily just left things, but he took care of the situation. And I noticed a lot of times I'm this way. I put forethought in the beginning of something, and I make an arrangement, and then when it's over, I just kind of leave it. I don't see the back half or the restoring things. You know, the excitement is in the planning, the excitement is in the preparation, and then the delivery, and then you just kind of forget about restoring things and putting things back into their condition. And so, but the Lord was not like this. He had a mature view, and he considered even what to do with the leftovers. So it's not just, you know, there's significance in that. The big significance is there's always something over. Right. But the fineness of humanity comes out in that he just didn't leave the crumbs or the pieces laying around. So also, as you're growing as a believer, you will have more consideration about the back half or the exit or the restoring. So this shows his, again, his consideration, his fineness, and his humanity. A very touching scene. Amen. Okay, also, he is balanced. Mm-hmm. Number two. Let's read A. I think we're on sisters. Okay, so here's talking about the different parts. Body and spirit. So we have three parts, obviously, us, and so did the Lord. And so he was growing in physical life, but also strengthening in the spirit. Does anybody know this verse? It's a good verse to know. How about someone flip to this verse? Is it Luke 2:40? Yeah. I've always, when I do my Bible reading, this verse, I always appreciate this verse and kind of pause there a minute and consider it. And so somebody read 2:40 for us. Okay, the little child grew and became strong, and the grace of God was upon him. Okay. Yeah. So the little child grew, became strong. So he grew up just like we did, the little child. So he went through all the stages we go through in our human development. Physically, he learned to speak like we speak. He learned, you know, say mama. He developed normally. He grew normal growth in his physical life, but also in strengthened in his spirit. And the grace was upon him. This is verse 40. So there's a point here about our development being normal in all three parts. We need the development physically. We should take care of ourselves physically. Many of you are in school, so you're attending to the development of your mind. And then also, you're taking care of the Lord, which is a primary part, and responsibility is our spirit. And that's why you set aside this week for the college training. Yeah. You didn't want your spirit to get weak this summer. So this shows a balanced approach. So this fine flower is also balanced. And then how about B? How about the brothers on B?
When he was 12 years of age, he knew how to care for his father's will, and yet at the same time, he subjected to his natural merits.
Okay, I think we're all familiar with this case. They were going down from Jerusalem, and and he wasn't with them. So they figured out that, where's our boy Jesus? And they thought he was with the relatives and friends. They were all traveling down. It just shows they traveled up as a group, and they were at the feast, and they traveled. They were so much in groups, and their cluster and related ones, that it was no problem to the parents that Jesus wasn't right there, because, oh, he's with relatives, he's with Uncle so-and-so, or they just were this related. But it turned out he wasn't there, and so they went back and they quizzed him, and this is when he says about his father's will. He knew how to care for his father's will and yet at the same time be subject to his natural parents. Okay, so here's a need to firstly care for our Father, capital F, Father's will, but also respect our parents. So we have a source that's divine. That's our Heavenly Father. That's our source from eternity. And to bring you about, He gave you some physical parents to raise you. You belong to the Lord, but He has to have some deputy parents, some to take care of you, to raise you so you can give your life to Him and be useful to Him. So He gives you physical parents. And He gave you those physical parents because He foreknew you and them, and He puts you in the family you're in for His purpose. It was no accident that you were born of, what are your parents' names?
Don and
Janice. Don and Janice. I remember they're from Austin. No mistake, Joey. God planned it. That is so you could take care of Him, but also be subject to your parents. Obedient to your parents. Okay, there may come a time when those two are in conflict. You feel the Lord is leading you a certain way, but your parents, let's say you just graduated from UGA. Raise your hand. You just graduated from UGA. Okay, you may feel led of the Lord to go a certain direction. What's your name?
Corey.
Corey, what are you going to do? Okay. And how do your parents feel about that? Okay. So parents are okay. So in your case, check. Parents are given the blessing. That's not always the case. Sometimes, for instance, the training, since you brought it up, the parents would feel, no, you shouldn't do that. There's other things that are more important that we want you to do. Okay, so, but your feeling is, the Lord is leading me to do this. Or maybe it's coming to the college training. Maybe there was some, anybody have a little difficulty coming to the college training with any relatives or friends or, okay. You made it. Okay. So there'll be times when we want to be, he was subject to his parents. He obeyed his parents. But he took care of the Father's will. So he's willing. He's not disobedient. He's subject. Let me put it this way. He's subject to his parents. Is that what it said? He's subject?
Yeah.
Okay, he's subject to his parents, but he didn't go with his parents away from Jerusalem. So he's subject to them, but he didn't do what they thought he should do, right? He stayed and took care of the Father's business. So you can still be subject to your parents, but maybe not obey them. You follow me? You're subject. Your spirit's right, and your you're proper with your parents, and your parents, Corey, let's just do hypothetical, you will not go to the training. And I've heard this. Even I've had some parents say, I'll commit suicide if my child goes to that training. I mean, I'm talking real conversation here. That's how much they are against that. Okay, so you may have, that's extreme. There's only been one case. I mean, I've heard lesser extremes, but that's out there. So you may, you can maintain a willing, a subject, you can be an obedient child in your spirit, but maybe if what your parents is telling you is against the Lord, and this is when you're of age, I mean, when you're 12, 14, you know, you better stick with mom and dad. But when you get to be an adult, you're still their child, but you may not obey. So in this case, he was subject to his parents and he took care of his father's will. Balanced. How about that for balance, Robert? Like, come on, that's kind of walking the line, isn't it? Parents said no. Inwardly, the father's saying, you better take care of this. Okay, so let's go to C. Oh, do you want to read those verses, or do you know those verses? That's in chapter 2, 49. How about we read them real quick, just so you see it in the Word. How about sisters 49, brothers 51? Go. Okay, so next verse, those are 49, and that was what, 51, okay. So can you see the balances here? In A, what's the balance in A? The balance in A was, 2A was what? What's the balance in A? Exactly. The physical life and the spiritual life. There needs to be a balance. We're not just spirits, right? We have a physical life. But we are not just here for the physical. The physical is for the spiritual. That's the reality. The physical, as we know it here, will be passing away. But there is a balance between the physical and the spiritual. Okay, what's the balance in B? Okay, louder. Your parents are the people, the physical people you're related to, especially over you, and your heavenly father. Again, it's in the physical realm and spirit. Okay, now we've just read C. Did we read those verses? Not yet. What's C? Let's read C. Jesus, as a child, found favor both God and man. And that's 52. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor or grace with God and man. So what's the balance here? What's the balance? God and man balanced. Jesus was balanced. You know, you can be so much for man that you don't find favor or grace with God. That's out of balance. We want to find grace with God and favor with God. You can also be out of balance where you don't find favor and grace with man because you are out of balance. Right? That men, you're not a proper human being. You don't come across properly and you turn people off without... you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. These brothers right here are going, right, right, right. The rest of you kind of look at me like, yeah, what am I talking about? But you know what I'm talking about, right? You can be extreme. So you're out of balance. You ever felt like you're out of balance in any of these areas? like, oh, physical's overtaking me. My spirit's dying. I don't have my spirit. My spirit's so weak. Out of balance. Or you're out of balance here, or you're out of balance here. So this was man and God, right? Balance. Okay, what else we got here? D, let's read that one.
Whether the people rejected him or welcomed him, he was continually the same. No rejection could irritate or offend him.
This one, oh my goodness. I'm growing into this area here. I'll tell you a story here in a minute. So what's the balance here? Huh? Yeah. So you're rejected? Have you ever been rejected? Rejected or what? Welcome or accepted. Whether he was rejected or welcome? Now come on. Whether he was rejected or welcome, he was continually the same. Oh my Lord Jesus. Imagine you're rejected or you're welcomed. And to us, in our humanity, that means everything. Peer pressure, peer acceptance, peer rejection, it just, life hinges on that. And my friends accept me, I'm in. If they reject me, I'm out. I'll turn. I'll change. I'll just be so governed by how this outcome is, rejected or welcome. Whether he was rejected or welcome, he was continually the same. No rejection could irritate or offend him. No rejection. Robert? Maybe the younger ones have a harder time with this one, but as you get older and you get more rejections, you'll appreciate this more and more. No rejection could irritate or offend him. No rejection. That means on the cross, when he was utterly rejected, he wasn't irritated or offended. What kind of man is this? Have you ever met such a man? Rejected? So one time I was a little older than you. Yeah, and I was serving part-time. And some negative speaking came. And it just about devastated me. I mean, I was younger, and there were strong negative talk about the church, and I had a hard time sleeping at night. And actually, one of the leading brothers, older brothers at that point, commented about how much it affected me, because I was loving the Lord and loving the church and the brothers and sisters, and then this looks like a steamroller rolled over me. And so I just, you know, out of balance. But with him, it didn't matter. Sometimes on the campus, you may be interested, the Lord may be leading you to speak to somebody, maybe handing out tracts. So one time I was handing out a tract. This was when I was your age, a little older, so I gave him a tract. Here, give me the tract. Oh, right in the face. Crumpled it up and threw it on my face. What should you do?
Hit him.
Or at least say, "Oh, have a nice day." I mean, that's mild compared to the gospel. I mean, you talk about Paul, you know, they were throwing stones, not just a little paper in their face. It was like clobbering, snuffing out his life. Stephen, it wasn't just a little piece of paper that they chunked at Stephen. They took him out brutally, unrighteously. And while he was being taken out, I would say he was experiencing the humanity of Jesus. I would say he was in full harmony, full balance. Let's just take that example for a minute. Come on, you up here. So you're Stephen. So you just shared from your constitution a summary of the Old Testament. Not from reading your notes, but you're so constituted with the word in front of your opposers where it's kind of hot, you know. You're just expounding the scripture in even such a way that you're trying to, the things you're sharing about Moses and he shares about Moses and Joshua, he's sharing them to enlighten them and to show that God's people were persecuted, but the Lord led them through and brought them higher and further, which is what's happening with Stephen. So he's even trying to educate them. He's sharing the word in such a... Go back and read Stephen's account in 7 and look at it in the way that Stephen is sharing it in such a wise way to help them realize, don't make the mistakes that your forefathers have made. Realize this is the Lord coming to you. But they were darkened, they were blinded, and so they stopped up their ears, they gnashed their teeth at him, they gnashed their teeth, they stopped their ears, away with him! They hauled him out, and then they surrounded him, and they started pounding him, a group of them. They laid their garments by a young man named Saul, and they just started piling on the stones. And so, come on, we're going to take you down. Boom, right to the shoulder. So that puts the shoulder up. Boom to the back. Boom to the head. Brutal. Just piling on. Just a pile of stones by the time it's over. And what did he? What was inside him? No, hey! Out. Over and out. Bloody. Pounded. Smashed in skull, the whole works, everything. Ouch. So he said what? He had a couple things to record. What did he say? Yeah. They say, Father, or Lord? He said, Lord. Okay, do you remember your words, Stephen, before you go out? No, you got a few more breaths. You got two more breaths. What are they? It's Acts 7. Louder?
Receive my spirit. Do not hold this against them.
Yeah. Okay, so that's verse what? That's 59? 60. And kneeling down, okay, and he said, as they stoned Stephen, as he called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Okay, so let's act this. So you're... okay, there it says, as they stoned Stephen, he called on the Lord.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, I think it'd be kind of a little deeper. And okay, but anyway, it's not the canned calling this time. It's the real deal. So down, kneeling down, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, the last stone came to the head, and it was over. Now, whose life was that? Whose life was that? Whose life did they witness? Saul, the young man, he got his attention. He saw another life. He saw this balanced life. He was expressing this humanity. Okay, you are who?
Sorry.
Gabriel. Okay, Gabriel. You're a good angel. Go back to your seat. Okay, so that was rejection. No rejection could irritate or offend him. So now that you saw that life reproduced in a man, Stephen, just example. Okay, let's go on to Tinder. My point there on D was on the campus, it's okay to be rejected. Expect it. Out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, maybe you'll get quite a few rejections. Does that affect you? Does that shut you down? Are you going to quit? What's your response? Can that rejection irritate or offend you? Well, if you're representing the Lord and you realize they're rejecting Him, you know, when they reject you, Zach, out there, you said you're out in the internship Monday and Tuesday on the table with freshmen. Now, freshmen are some of the least rejecting people, but still, you might get a couple sourpusses. Okay, they're going to reject you. So that kind of cools you down, doesn't it? Like, no, or get out of my way. Or just even a mean look, like, what does that do to you, honestly? Oh, do I really want to be doing this? But you have to realize, Zach, you're representing Christ. So that rejection is against Him. Okay? And He can take it. So just stand there and be just like that, smile just like that. Okay, so we're in an area on the campus where you're going to have rejections more than acceptance. So this humanity, he knows, he's been through that. So, okay, let's go on to three, tender. How about the sisters on A? Go. Okay, so this verse is 12:20, is that right? I've got it right here. I'll read it to you. It says, oops, that's marked. Anybody got 12:20?
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, Vern.
A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, until he brings forth justice unto victory.
Okay, so he won't crush it? Is that what it said? He will break it, he won't break it, and he won't quench it. So this is a tender. We're not like this. We despise each other. We focus on the weaknesses in our character, and we don't see Christ in each other. We don't appreciate the Christ. Our eye catches the kind of the outward, and we get irritated, and so we despise each other, or we criticize each other, the weaker ones especially, who we think are weak, are the ones that are smoking flax. You know, we're just like this. Some of us are just like this. We're not. The Jews had accustomed to playing musical sounds on reeds. That's an instrument made out of a reed, and it got bruised, and so the Lord would not discard that. Or a smoking flax where the oil ran out. Sometimes you're around the saints and you realize the oil, the spirit is gone. And it's just some smoking flax. That's what the wick is made of. And it's just like, smoke, no oil. But he wouldn't quench it. See, this is his tenderness. He cares for the ones that have been smacked, the bruised, and the ones that are out of oil. To him, He's tender with them. He's long-suffering with them. He's forgiving of them. This is one of his main attributes, just like Stephen, forgive them. This is where the Lord is very forgiving when we're not that way. So this is part of his tenderness. The Lord's humanity loves. Let's read that last section again. The Lord's humanity, underline the word loves, all the bruised and smoking ones. So any ones around you that are bruised or smoking, they're not the cool, you know, in high school they're the cool kids, or maybe you have some like the cool saints, and then there's the not so cool kids and the not so cool saints. Do y'all use the word cool anymore? What's your word? I know it's gone from cool to hip to clean to whatever. What's your word now? What? Fresh? You know what I'm talking about. Okay, he loves them. Okay, then B, how about the sisters on B? Okay. So throughout all opposition, he was meek, and all the rejection, he was lowly. Meek and lowly. This verse, I hope y'all know this verse, Matthew 11. I actually come back to this verse quite a bit. Do y'all know this verse? Can anybody recite this verse?
11:29.
Okay, so where do you see tenderness here? Huh? Meek? What does meek mean? Does any of the students know what meek, what's a meek? Meek, what is meek?
Not ambitious.
Not aggressive. Not aggressive.
Humble.
Humble. Moderate.
Yielding.
Not resistant.
Meek and lowly.
So, I think one of the notes mentions in the context, it's not resisting. So, bam. Don't resist me. You resisted me. Don't resist me. Bam. Bam. Oh, don't resist me. You're going to be black and blue by the time this is over. We're not that way, are we, Joey, by our constitution? No way. And lowly? If we're lowly, we're proud because we're the lowest. How low can you go? That person is proud because he's proud because he's so high, but I'm proud because I'm so low. Now, who do you think is prouder? It's hard to say, isn't it? Corrupted. Big C, corruption. But Christ is not that way. Meek and lowly, submitting himself to the will of his Father. Okay, that's the fine flower. Do you have anything you'd like to bring up on the fine flower? It's pretty fine. It's fine, it's balanced, and it's tender. You could go on and on. There's a lot of attributes about the flour. Remember, it's the main ingredient. They went through a process. That's right. It sure did. You want to have a little taste? Okay, so let's go on to the oil. How about read B?
With go. The humanity of Jesus as the fine flour, there is the oil as the Spirit anointing, bringing
Okay, so with the flower, as Joey experienced, the flower is, do you remember the experiment we had? You got it? All right. So it's, when I tried this, it just all stuck to the roof of my mouth. I put more in my mouth than I did in yours. I didn't want to make you cough it up. But I put it in my mouth and it got a little wet and it all stuck at the root. Have you had anything stick at the roof of your mouth? So flour, like that, it's not enjoyable. Did you enjoy that flour? It's okay. It's okay. Okay, but oil gives it. Okay, with the flour, it provides the base. I guess it's like a carbohydrate, mostly. What does the oil provide? This is maybe a carb. And then this is what? Fat. The taste is in the fat. The taste brings in, the flour has some taste to it, but when you put the oil in, it gives it flavor. This oil I have here, which kind of leaked out, this is olive oil. And it has a taste too. And how do you think they get to this point? Olive oil. How do you think it gets from the olives to the oil? Yeah. Another process, another grinding. Crushing the oil, crushing the olive until it bleeds out as life juice, oil here. It's kind of a real colorful green there. And it has some taste. Do you want to taste it? No? Oh, you do? No? I'm saying no. Okay. Okay, we'll spare you. But if you drip in the oil into the flour, then you get this here. This is flour. This is flour. I don't probably have enough oil in it. And it's mingled with the oil and the flour. And this has... This actually has more taste to it. Here, let me try it. Better, isn't it? Much better. Want some more? A little salt. Need a little salt in there. So unlike the flour that's without oil, which is not... that desirable. When you put some oil, sisters know this, brothers are just having a cooking lesson here. It becomes tasty and it becomes enjoyable and edible. So the oil here is the spirit, anointing and mingling. So actually with the meal offering, it was mingled with the fine flour and then oil was also poured on top of it. I don't know if y'all caught that distinction earlier. Which signifies the Lord's life, both in His. Oh, how about did y'all already study that, the mingling and the pouring on? No. Well, if you read the scripture there, it says that it was mingled with oil, and then it says it was anointed with oil, so it was poured upon. And this outline shows us that Christ. And by the way, these verses are mostly from Luke, which is interesting because Luke's mainly on the humanity of the Lord Jesus, yet these verses are talking about the Spirit and Him being conceived of the Spirit. And these verses are here in Luke chapter 1. Let's read 1 together. Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so you have the human... cell of a woman, and then the divine cell of the Spirit, the Father, the divine life, these two come together and they produce an, what do you call that, the first stage, the embryo. So he was of a mother, a human mother, and he was of a divine father, the Spirit. So he's conceived, unlike anybody else ever, of the Holy Spirit. So his essence was Spirit. Essentially, essence, by birth, by conception. And then Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit. This was the case with the dove, right? You want to flip to that? Or let's go back to Luke 1:35, just make sure you catch that. Why don't you read 1:35 for me? Whoever gets it, go.
And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore also the holy thing which is born will be called the Son of God."
Okay, the holy thing which is born, called the Son of God, because conceived of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the next one is 3:21. You got that, somebody? Anybody who got it, who has it?
And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form as a dove upon him, and a voice came out of heaven, "You are my Son, the beloved. In you I have found my delight."
Okay, so here you have the Holy Spirit descending in bodily form. So he's being baptized, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is descending in bodily form as a dove, which shows its gentleness, the gentle Spirit coming. So this occurred, so the Spirit was coming, and this is, there's a great note on this showing the economical Spirit. So this is a further anointing of the Spirit, not by essence, but by his move. I think you're familiar with that. Then this note mentions it was could be removed from him. The power of the Holy Spirit for the ministry of Jesus could be removed from him. So this could come and this could go. Here it's coming. Can you give me an illustration when it's going? Now, we're not talking about essence. He was born of essence. So this could never change. This is unchanging. This is once for all eternity. But this descending could come, and it did come here, but it also could, you know, a dove can come, and then the dove can fly away. So can anybody give an illustration when the dove flies away? Student? Other than, huh? On the cross. What happened then? Yeah. Why have you forsaken me? And the Spirit was removed, right? And that puzzles a lot of Christians. So these kind of things, if you know these kind of things, you can really help a lot of young believers to understand some parts of the Bible that, quite frankly, haven't confused people for a long time. But thank the Lord for the ministry, because it's very clear. Okay, then three, the Spirit is led. Christ was led by the Spirit. I think you all know that. 4:1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, where he's baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness while being tempted for 40 days by the devil. So that was a leading. He was born of the Spirit. He was anointed of the Spirit. He was led of the Spirit. The same verse says he was full of the Spirit, full of power. That's verse five, number 5 says, full of the Spirit, and 4 is the power of the Spirit. That's verse 14 says that Jesus returned. This is after his tempting. He returned in the power of the Spirit. So he also experienced the Spirit's power. So this humanity is mingled with, anointed with, full of, empowered by the Spirit. So this oil and fine flour has been mingled, and the oil, if I would illustrate here, would be poured upon it. So it was a fully saturated. That's his humanity with the Spirit. That's the humanity of Jesus with the fine flour and the oil. Then we get to frankincense. Let's read, all read C together.
In typology, the frankincense and the meal offering signifies the fragrance of Christ and his resurrection. For the Lord Jesus to live in resurrection meant that he denied himself and his natural life, and that he lived not himself, but the Father.
Okay, so for the Lord Jesus to live in resurrection, what does it mean for the Lord Jesus when we say he lived in resurrection? What is that? What comes to your mind? He lived in resurrection. What does that mean to you?
Cross.
The cross. Okay, what does it mean? What does it mean to live in resurrection? For him to live in resurrection, for us to live in resurrection, what does that mean? Okay. Okay, good. Keep going. Dying to himself. Fragrance, good. That's for sure. Well, this says it means that he denied himself. So living in resurrection means the self is being denied, and his natural life denied, and that he lived not himself, but the Father. So he's living by another life. So basically it's not living by the natural life, denying that, no, rejecting that, and living by his Father's life. That's what living in Christ, living in resurrection means, not as his own life, but another life. So that's what it means for us to live in resurrection. It means we're not living by, Joey's not living by Joey's life. Joey's living by another life. So when people meet Joey, they see a typical American boy. Yeah, they see, but when they get to know him, they realize, wow, there's something different here. He's not living like the other typical American boys. He is living by another life.
Amen.
That means he's in resurrection. He's denying that natural life, that self, by the cross, and he's living by another life. So when we talk about living in resurrection, it's not just some ethereal thing like I just feel good today, I'm overcoming today, or whatever. It means know to self, know the natural life, and another life. Jesus is living there. Okay, great point. And it's illustrated in one, the Lord Jesus did not speak his own word, but the Father's word. It indicates he rejected his natural life and lived by the life of the Father. And let's read two, sisters. Yeah, his most tested hour. So what's this referring to? And how does this show that he did not accept any protection but cared instead for the suffering ones? Anybody know what this scripture is talking about? How about the first one that gets there? Read it. One more. Oh, no, sorry. I got 51. Good. Okay, so it's when he's betrayed. So he didn't try to protect himself. Instead, he cared for the suffering ones. This is a fragrance. It's like when Stephen was being persecuted, don't you think there was a fragrance ascending? And here the Lord is being betrayed by a kiss from Judas. And he's caring for the others. This is a fragrance. This kind of sacrificing, this kind of not living by his own life but another life, it's very fragrant in human society. There's different fragrances in the human society related to different accomplishments and different achievements, and you know, things have a fragrance. Well, this is the most fragrant. This is the frankincense that's aromatic, and you see it in the Lord's life many times in the Gospels. I heard you got challenged last night to go through the Gospels and see how many times you can find this sweet aroma. Well, here's a case where he's not caring to protect himself. You know, he could have just called down fire and roasted those guys on the spot. But he didn't try to protect himself. We're very self-protectant, and we're not caring of others. But in this man, you see his sweet aroma. Okay, that takes care of frankincense. And now for the fourth element is the salt. So we've got to put a little salt on it. And salt in the meal offering refers to what? The death, to the cross, regardless of what kind of situation or circumstance he was in. He was always under the killing in his actions and words. Okay, so this is part of the meal offering, salt. And I would like to say a little bit of a word here, because we're looking at humanity. And we are a human vessel made to contain a very precious treasure. That's not a very good... Okay, so we have a treasure in earthen vessel. So here's the earthen vessel. And the treasure is in the vessel, which is Christ. And that's the humanity we're talking about. We're not talking about our created humanity, our natural humanity. We're talking about this person's humanity. And that's the treasure. And our humanity, right here, it has to be mingled with Christ, and has to be preserved by Christ. And there are some things that damage this vessel. Here's a vessel. And this is you and me, and we're containing a precious treasure. But to contain the treasure, it has to be whole. And there are things that damage the vessel. And then what happens to the treasure? Leaks out. So if this is not preserved here, then the treasure, what happens? Leaks out. So it doesn't matter how much treasure you put in. If I poke another hole in that, I can keep pouring in treasure, but is it ever going to be contained? See? So, sprung a leak. Bible. It's my treasure. Get my treasure over here. So there's things in relationships. I'm going to touch this a little bit. This is a college training, right? Don't they call this a training?
Yes.
This isn't a conference, is it? It's not an outing, is it? You sign up for a training? You paid, you have a badge like me. So you subject yourself to training. So listen. There are things that will damage this vessel, our humanity. Now we're contrasting our humanity. And one of these is relationships that are improper. And this is wiping out humanity all over the place. We see it, oops, still leaking, on the college campus. So it gets damaged. So no matter how precious this treasure is, can't be expressed, can't be contained. So the relationships are improper. I just heard this week that at UT there's a student initiative to when they were building this dormitory, they had Jester East and Jester West. Actually, it was male and female, two separate sections of this dorm. Men, Jester M and Jester W, women. Okay, then they progressed to putting them in the same building, but separate floors. Then they progressed to putting them on the same floor in separate wings. Now the student initiative is to, guess what? Huh? What? Say it. Same room. My roommate now is going to be a female. I'm a male, but my roommate is going to be female. They're pushing this, so now it's not separate buildings, it's not separate floors, it's not separate wings, it's not even separate rooms. And probably not even a separate bed. They'll probably just go ahead and put a king bed in there. And oh, my Lord. And this is the environment that you think is normal. My generation is appalled. Your generation is, oh, well, it's the way it goes. Not all of you are like that, but you're conditioned. You're being worked upon. You're being affected in many ways by the society, and it's just a gradual drifting, gradual. This was 50 years ago, then 30 years ago, then 20 years ago, now today. So you see the trend? So what do you think this is doing to the humanity? It's poking major holes. So do you think there's any capacity? Even if Christ does get in there, do you think Christ can be contained and expressed? Smashing humanity. Let's just take it the next step. Let's just take this cup and go like that. Now, try to contain the precious vessel, the precious treasure. Any hope? Yeah, God's merciful. He can restore, but come on. How much damage? Eventually, in Romans it says he just gave him over. He just, there's nothing I can do. I just hand it over. They can't touch it. That's getting into homosexuality. He says, just deliver them over. There's nothing further I can do. It's gone. Worthless. So we had two freshman girls. I'm just coming off out of the field. We had two freshman girls that came up to us, and that was one of their first questions. What does your group feel about gays? That wasn't even talked about back then, and then now it's right up here about joining Christian group. Hey, what about it? Well, if you're bothered by this talk, it means you've been influenced by the age. God is not silent on this matter. It is in the Bible. And it's not ambiguous in the Bible about the discussion. It's clear as night and day. It's extra clear in God's word. Not my word, not your word, not man's word of the day, not 1800s, not 2000, not 21. It doesn't matter. God is very clear about it. The word's very clear about it. And the world is very confused about it. And they're trying to confuse. Satan's whole tactic is to confuse things. Take the word out of the picture, take God out of the picture, and let me just damage every human vessel. Every one of you. So God has no one. That's Satan's strategy. And if you want to take it and buy it and bite on it, go ahead. But just realize you are part of the enemy's strategy. You're in his hand. And you don't even know it. And they don't even know it. He's just doing this. And they're going, oh, well, come on, be tolerant. Come on, be equal, be fair. And all the time, Satan's just going like this. They don't even know it. It's deception. He deceives the whole inhabited earth. There is a deception. There's a master of deception. It's all about strategy. It's like war, World War II. There was a deception. We deceived Hitler and the German Nazis. We had them believing we were going to attack at a certain point. We had some strategists, and so we were able to come out on top. But it's all about strategy. And we're just ignorant of the whole thing, mostly. So that's where the humanity gets crushed. Brothers, with pornography. It's eating the Christians alive. The last survey I saw, 30% of the men, Christian, who are leaders are into pornography. Those are the ones, that's me, that's these three. Okay, so out of these three Christian leaders, one of them is heavy into pornography. What? That is a violation against God, against that woman who's taken her clothes off. You're violating God and his creation, and you're violating that person. And you're being destroyed in it. So we work with ones like this. Good brothers. Robert, it's just appalling. Good brothers. And they're in this situation. And you know what the outcome of that is? Sometimes it's mental illness. It's instability. And then it's the improper view of a woman. And it ruins your marriage. It can ruin your raising your children. And it damages. And today is rampant. It's so easy. In my day, you had to go into a magazine store, and if there was shame to it, there were eyes. But today, there's no eyes. It's all on your little device. No accountability, no protection. I know some are struggling with it. Even we have females that are in it. Sisters, Robert. It's the whole display of the flesh. And the ones taking their clothes off and posing like this are just as guilty of sin. And that's the most disturbing thing of being a full-time brother on the campus, is having to face improperly dressed females on the campus. I hate it. I try to keep my eyes down. I try to control my eyes. This is, the humanity of Jesus was controlled. I sat next to the plane, on the plane, I sat next to the plane, I was in the plane. I sat next to this lady, and her skirt was, to me, it was improper. And so I just tried to turn my body this way, and, you know, put my hand like this. And I'm 62 years old, and I'm married. But I have the flesh. I can't get rid of it until it, the way it's going to be dealt with is it's going to die. That's the only way that I will escape this torment. That's why Paul longed to be clothed upon. He was in this struggle to live a godly life and to honor the Lord, yet this temptation and this flesh is just in our face. And it's on the campus, brothers and sisters, it's just the epitome. It's kind of the leading. And some of these universities are very liberal, and they're even the cutting edge. And we're trying to maintain some testimony. So relationships are improper. Fornication is it's against your body. And it's, the Bible reveals it's very difficult to deal with. If you have issues with this, with anything I mentioned, substances, alcohol, you know, you can't legally drink until you're 21. Alcohol, does that mean it's good for you when you turn 21? Does that mean, yahoo, I can do it legally now? So drink it up. It's damaging your vessel. I brought several of these cups. I should mark one. Relationships. Improper. Alcohol, physical substances. I just had a saint tell me, well, guess what? They legalized marijuana in, where is it? Colorado. And in Washington. So, hey, it's okay. Okay, so it's legal. Do you think it's good for you? Pornography or improper dress of female. What else? So that's destroying our, this is just taking this out right here. It just pokes huge holes in this thing. And it doesn't matter how many of these you come to, if the Lord can't touch those things, eventually it's not going to hold up. So take His humanity. Give up on yours. Admit, I'm a failure. I need help. And go to somebody. Go to an older saint. If any of these areas or other areas I haven't mentioned, and you can't, there's a power to it. There's a power to physical substances, the alcohol, marijuana, drugs, there's a power to it. To fornication, to pornography, there's a spirit behind it. There's a power to it. And most people are not strong enough to face it. So cry out for help. Get some help. Don't let this ruin your vessel. Eventually, if it's there long enough, it can come to a point where it's, you know, we meet people, they're just kind of washed out, Robert. I mean, it's just, wish we could help them, but they're too far gone. So it's not a light matter. That's the salt. A little salty word. The flour was okay, and I put the oil, that was okay. The frankincense, what about the salt, Joe? Are you okay?
Yes.
You're okay? There's salt in the meal offering, Joey.
Amen.
It's not just fine flour. It's not just oil. It's not just frankincense.
Amen. Oh.
There's salt. So this is the killing of the cross. The cross, the Lord, brothers and sisters, has won the victory.
Amen.
He's defeated the power behind these things. Don't stand with the lie. Don't stand with the unreality. There is victory in the Lord Jesus,
amen,
in this humanity. The devil would convince us otherwise. Yes, the devil has power. How is it you can say that the devil is not... How is it the Bible says that he destroyed the works of the devil? When you see the devil all over the place, explain it to me. You ever thought about that? The Bible says he destroyed the works of the devil. But do you see the works of the devil? So what? Explain it to me. Did he destroy the works of the devil?
Yes.
But do you see the devil working?
Yes.
What?
Huh?
Time? What do you mean? Okay, you're getting there.
They hold no power over us in the resurrected life.
Okay. So here it is. Oh, one more, what? Okay, good. That's right. So it's right here. What's this? Okay. And we were born over here and under the influence of Satan. So on this side of this cross, Satan is alive and well. He's doing this right now. But the salt, not the exalt, but the salt. The salt. So the Lord went through the cross, right, and came out here. Satan got nailed right here. So he got stopped. So on this side, he destroyed the works. Satan has no power on this side. It means when you're in your spirit, when you're under the cross, living, denying yourself, Satan, back off, buddy. You're out of here. No touch. No way. No ground. And so if we live over here, we're okay. But when we slip back into our flesh, guess who's pounding us? Satan. So it depends on what realm you're in. Yes, he destroyed the works of the devil when we're living in our mingled spirit, when we're taking the Lord Jesus. So, how about this? Have y'all had this phrase, this conference, or this training? Behold. Behold what?
Amen.
A man. And then what was the next phrase? Eat the man. What was this? Okay, let's look at this outline. We'll finish up here. We're supposed to stop about 9, so too bad. I went over. Sorry. Okay, so Roman numeral 2 is the four Gospels. Christ lived a life. Okay, and then if you look at number A1, the humanity of Jesus revealed. You see that? Circle revealed in the four Gospels. Circle revealed. So where do you behold the man? Huh? Where are you going to behold him? You go to the Word. That's where he's revealed. So circle revealed, behold the man. And the four Gospels that come are food, right? As you behold him, you eat him, right? Behold the man, eat him. So he becomes our food. And then 2 says, if day by day we eat Christ as a meal offering, eventually we will become the man. Become the man. Behold the man. Eat the man. The meal offering. Too bad, Joey, I can't make you a little meal. I mean, I kind of gave you some ingredients here and there, but if we could make up a meal offering, yum, yum. Yum, yum. Yummy, yummy. Then you become the man. And eventually, if this is the kind of life which is adequate to serve God, it is this kind of life which is adequate to serve God in the what? Priesthood. So that was supposed to be the last half hour, but I got involved in this other. So we want to go from behold the man, eat the man, Become the man to what? Huh? What did you put here? Priesthood. Proclaim, preach, propagate. No, the meal offering is nothing of animal. It's all vegetable. If you read the note, it says it's for producing. It's for increase. It's for supplying the need of the hungry people. The vegetable, the meal offering is for supplying. It's for producing. It's for propagating life. And for feeding, making a rich supply. So it's, I don't, you can put, what, propagate the man, preach the man. What did you say, Vern? Dispense the man. Multiply the man. Propagate the man. Propagate the man. Whatever. A priesthood. There, if it was just after one man, the Lord would have done it. We'd been out of here. Done. He got the perfect one. But that wasn't what the Father, that didn't finish the Father's plan. So he needed more. So do you think this is enough?
No.
Is he here? No. So there needs to be propagate the man, the priesthood. And your college students on the college campus, oh my goodness. We got a lot to say here. I think Ken will get into some of this, and there's just some of you are, how about you raise your hand if you're in an internship this summer? Okay, why don't you stand up? I could see you. I was here earlier. Let me see. All those, you get to stretch early. Here's your reward. Okay, all of y'all are in the propagating the man. Are you beholding the man? You're reading the word. Yes?
Amen.
Are you eating the man?
Amen.
Are you becoming the man?
Amen.
Yes. Are you propagating the man?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You got it. Okay, there's some time for you to share, right? They still have time? Is 10 after? Or no? 5 minutes? None?
Maybe it'd be good if we just pray a little bit.
There you go.
How about let's just pray a little bit personally? Maybe these words have been touching. Very healthy words. Let's just take a few minutes to pray privately at our seat. And then we'll have some more instruction.